Think you know all about Cleveland? Think again and get ready to learn much more about Cleveland. Listen to the latest episodes of Destination Cleveland's podcast, Legends of the Land. We're talking to locals and experts to uncover answers to those burning questions we get asked about the land. Get the real story behind all things Cleveland. From its rich history to the hidden gems, there's so much to explore. Tune in on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you find your podcasts. Discover a side of Cleveland you never knew.
Man, every single time I play that theme song, I get distracted. That thing just pumps, man. I dig it. Like, I can't get enough of that, man. I forgot how much I enjoyed that.
It's a banger, as the kids say.
So, hopping into the show, of course, the show where we let our minds wander. I am the one that they call Shane, along with over here I got...
Big Bad Boo Daddy Oren Felix.
And it's been a hot minute since we've done a Bizarre Inquiry, so we figured it was about time to bring it back after the Cryptid Brawl tournament.
Yeah, we had our Cryptid Brawl tournament for March Madness. Then we had a little bit of April sadness when you guys didn't get to hear from us. And now we're back with a vengeance in May. So, Shane, this question comes courtesy of you. Probably going to be a multi-parter, I've heard. Why don't you share with the listeners what we got going on tonight and probably for the next couple weeks?
So this one, again, it's going to be something to unpack, but we want to do it in the normal format that we do these episodes. And I'm kind of hoping they'll kind of chain along to get people to get back into the whole feel of Bizarre Inquiries, of course. So this will be split into multiple parts because I doubt we'll be able to fit all of it within a 15 to 20 minute period. But diving into today's question, and Oren, I will let you have first dibs at this one, of course, since I'm the one stating the question, but what cryptids do you think is most likely to actually exist?
Well, I think this is an awesome question, first off. And secondly, I've got kind of two main ones in my head, but let's tackle them one at a time. How does that sound?
Works for me, man.
All right. So I think the first one is obviously the elephant in the room. It's got to be Sasquatch. I mean,
I'm always going to be with Sasquatch too. I mean,
you know, we're kind of more in the woo-woo school of thought when it comes to Sasquatch and Bigfoot. But I think part of the reason that Sasquatch is so popular and kind of, you know, the you know, whatever, king cryptid, if you want
to go to cryptid. Like
that. Yeah, yeah, exactly. The entry-level cryptid is, it's the easiest one to believe. Like, even if you strip all the woo-woo, all the paranormal, all the stuff that we like to talk about, it's pretty fucking easy to believe that there's just kind of a big monkey running around out there. You know, I mean, we got big monkeys. We've had cavemen. We've had Neanderthals. I mean, there's been Gigantopithecus and all that. Like, that's a pretty easy jump to make. So I think that's why, one, that's a lot of people's kind of gateway into cryptozoology and all this weird shit. And two, I think it's one of the two categories that I think is the most likely to actually exist.
See, with this one, at least, I think the hardest part about it for people that don't want to believe in Sasquatch is the whole, like, possibility of the intelligence factor, because most people want to say, why haven't we found it yet? Why haven't we found dead bodies? Why haven't we found this? And it's like, again, if there's a higher intelligence level to this thing than, like, typical, quote, animals, if you want to label it as that, then, of course, like, you got to interact with the fact of, like, you're almost like you're dealing with another race of people, which totally makes sense on why you'd have trouble actually being able to, like, find these things. And I mean, if they are intelligent, one of the first things that I feel like any animal would learn and adapt to know is to stay the hell away from humans. And I mean, if you look at that on like a base level, that like deer, for example, yes, sometimes they're out in the open, but deers will get smart enough to get to the point where they know that they'll go to like certain reserves of land, or they'll go in certain particular fields because people can't shoot them in there, and they'll stay in there and almost like flaunt at you, like wide out in the open, and not care because they become fully aware. It's like, if something that's on that level has the idea to avoid humans, they know locations they can go to avoid humans, then again, add the intelligence factor to Sasquatch and it completely plausibly makes sense. And I mean, even the intelligence factor within the community, I mean, that's where it kind of comes in the debate versus flesh and blood versus woo-woo, is that it's like, even within the community, the people that acknowledge the existence of this thing, they still don't know where to place it, as as intelligent as it is? Is it something beyond us where it has these interdimensional abilities? Is it something that's just higher than other typical animals in nature where it's just able to be elusive and they kind of exist amongst their own? But it's just like, that's the most debated question when it comes to me with Sasquatch. It's not necessarily like, does it exist? Because I definitely believe in the existence, but like, what's the intelligence factor of this thing that makes it so that it's so elusive to people?
Yeah, and I think a lot of, you know, this Bigfoot conversation we're going to have tonight, we're kind of devil's advocating here because we both lean into the woo and the paranormal side of things.
That's just because it's the fun part to make theories about, in all fairness.
But okay, so even if we consider, if this thing does exist, it's probably at least as smart as like the smartest primates we have, probably a little bit more so if we're just looking at things logically. So intelligence factor wise, like you said, if a deer can figure out to avoid people and where are safe places to go and where they're not, this thing should have no problem doing that. And number two, I've heard, you know, people talk about, you know, the argument's always, well, why haven't we found a skeleton or something like that? Well, how often do people run across like bear skeletons, you know, and that's something
it's a buffet,
that we know
man.
Exists. We see them all the time. Like these are rough conditions where these things are seen, like Pacific Northwest for sure. There's a lot of like damp leaves and things like that. I mean, it would be really easy to miss these things if theoretically the skeletons even were there. So, I mean,
even on the other side to add into that one too, I mean, like if a little animal dies in the wood, which you find all the time, it's not worth the time of a lot of animals to actually dig into that thing. But if like a bear or a Sasquatch drops dead in the middle of the woods, that's like a buffet for a bunch of animals. And that's like undeniable. Like there's going to be flocks of birds. There's going to be coyote. There's going to be wolves. And even getting into the bones, like porcupines eat bones. Like that's like a buffet. That's why you find some of the smaller animals in the woods, but you don't find the big stuff because when that dies, everything's there eating it.
Yeah, and so even without getting into all the like interdimensional and portals and that kind of stuff that I believe about Bigfoot, it kind of makes sense to me that, okay, if this thing is just a missing link, big animal, big ape, whatever you want to call it, there's obviously one, not many of them. Two, they're smarter than an average animal. And three, they're probably really fucking good at hiding. So even just if you want to look at it as a more animalistic type thing, it's not that surprising to me that we haven't found quote unquote proof of it, you know, but that's where I stand.
I mean, even looking into like predators, for example, like look at like a jaguar, for example, like very obvious colorations. Like you see it at the zoo, it stands out like a sore thumb. But when you're actually out in nature, you're not going to see that thing until it's on top of you. And that thing's brightly colored. You dig into like a Sasquatch that's like browns and grays and has like greens and stuff like that from like, you know, buildup of moss and all that kind of stuff in its hair, it's going to completely blend in, no problem. And I mean, people like to think that there's not that much land left in the world, but that's because like the mainstream narrative has kind of given everybody this overpopulation idea and everybody's clustered near cities, not realizing that there's a lot of open world around you and in the city or like the compact areas. And that's when you have like your view of what you think the world is like. But you know, you take a trip across country and you're going to notice there's a lot more wide open spaces, forests and all that kind of shit than you could ever realize. And I mean, you hear like a forest is like 100 miles wide, and when you don't really have like an idea of like how big that really is, it doesn't seem like that much. But 100 miles of woods in every direction, I mean, think about how easily something could hide in there. And especially if it's something intelligent, that if it hears things coming and ruffling from one side, it's going to be moving around to the other side. Like there's a lot more woods, a lot more deep woods out there than people realize. And at least for me, it's like when I hear some of the Sasquatch encounters near cities, there's definitely the possibility of that. Because I mean, you see like coyotes in the city, you see wolves in the city, like stuff comes into the city to try to look for food. But more often than not, if there's like a huge cluster of them, maybe it's like a young one or something like that that's popping up. Maybe it's some people that just kind of want to have Sasquatch stories. But like the ones that are like deep in the woods, I almost feel like those ones are like undeniable, because especially when they're coming from people that are experienced woodsmen, because who else is going to be out in the middle of the deep, deep woods? They know what they see. They know what the sounds of animals, they know what tracks look like. And some of the most reputable stories from the middle of nowhere are the ones that are like, again, people that are experienced and they know what they're looking at. So it's like, you can't tell somebody in the deep woods that there ain't Sasquatch. Cause I mean, like all signs point to yes, at least for me.
Well, kind of an idea that we've talked about a few times here recently is just the whole national parks thing. And
you mean Sasquatch reserves?
Yeah, that's what I was going to joke around about. But yeah, a lot of these national parks are absolutely fucking huge, you know, and people see whatever 1-2% of them normally, you know. So if theoretically the government, the Park Service, whatever ABC agency you want to put on it, knows about the existence of these creatures, and they are just some sort of preserve, like you said, it makes sense that they'd kind of be sequestered or hidden in these national parks that, yeah, they're basically game preserves that are like thinly veiled as tourist attractions that people just see like these little trails. And then, I mean, if you go 100 yards in any direction, you're in the fucking wilderness, you know?
And I mean, especially when it comes to those too, like think about how easy it is to like deter people away. Like, you know, they could easily just say that there was a bear sighting over in this camp area, so nobody can go over there. Nobody questions it. They're like, okay, there was a bear. Or like, oh, there's a pack of wolves over in this area, so we're going to shut down this area. Like you can completely shut off half of the park and have a completely probable reason.
This trail, something as simple as that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They could say there was a fallen tree on this trail, and so you can't walk on it because it's not safe or something like that. Like it's so easy to try to deter people away with no questions asked. And when people do get attacked in those areas, which, again, we'll save the Dogman stuff. We'll just keep this particular episode just the Sasquatch stuff. But when you have these like crazy experiences where things get aggressive, people get killed by these things, they turn into missing 411 or they turn into a random animal attack. So even deaths in these areas are easy to cover up just because of, one, the land, and two, animals being in the area. I mean, you never know what you could be dealing with.
And kind of piggybacking off of the whole government aspect of this, but taking a little bit of a turn, and I cannot recall who I heard say this, but I thought it was a great point. But it was like, you know, if Sasquatch exists, why hasn't it not been acknowledged? And what, one, it would kind of change our paradigm as far as science goes. But number two, and this had to be somebody on Rogan who said this because it sounds like something that a Joe Rogan guest would say, but it was, the government is never going to acknowledge anything that it can't tax and make money off of. And how do you tax a Sasquatch? So, I mean, is that an animal? Is it a person at that point? So I thought that was like a really good point that I never really thought about. And it kind of plays into the idea that maybe there are these places that are just Sasquatch preserves. You know,
you couldn't make money off them either, like normal preserves do, because usually preserves for like funding and stuff to try to, I guess, depending on the preserve and what their views are on this kind of stuff. But they'll do stuff where like people can come and like they'll have like viewing areas, for example, or they'll have stuff where you can actually like I know people have mixed opinions about this and stuff, but they have certain things where you can pet certain animals. You know, they have like petting zoo type stuff. It's like Sasquatch, you'd never be able to put in any of those situations. So again, you can't make money off of it. So it's like, it's better just to pretend like it doesn't exist, because it's like, what are you going to do if you have like a Sasquatch reserve with like a looking point? You know, it's going to turn into a moral dilemma where it's like, is this almost the same as if you were somebody who's watching in on a family? Like there'd be way too much moral debate and dilemma based on actually viewing these creatures in the wild or intelligent beings, possibly even more human than we even realize. So it's like,
at best case scenario, it's probably so human that, like you said, the moral dilemma, there'd be so much gray area there. How many stories have we all heard of like hunters or whatever that encountered these things and like, I couldn't shoot it, it was too human, you know? So
again, I mean, in that case, it may not even be family friendly too, because I mean, if something's just doing something out in nature, you know, there might be some stuff that's way too close to human-like behavior that, again, it wouldn't be like a family-friendly thing like most animal preserves viewing points usually are. I mean, Of course you have some of those situations where animals are mating and stuff, and it's a little bit easier just to tell your kids, oh, they're just, you know, they're cuddling, they're playing, whatever, but
like a chimpanzee at the zoo will fling poop and beat on the glass and all that kind of shit. You can't risk a Sasquatch doing that, you know?
Even bulletproof glass, man, I feel like Sasquatch could theoretically be strong enough to at least start putting some cracks in that. Or some intelligence factor.
Yeah,
they'll find a way. They'll start like breaking pieces off of the trees and stuff, build themselves something to be able to climb up and out of it. Like,
I've seen Planet of the Apes. That Caesar wasn't fucking around, man.
You'd have to put this thing in like a prison, which again would come into like the whole moral dilemma concept of this thing. But it would have to be stronger than Alcatraz or something, because it's like you start making, you know, cement walls, and how long would a cement wall last against the Sasquatch smoke smashing it?
Yeah. But no, I think this is a fun conversation to have because, like I said, you know, we normally lean hard into the woo on this show. And I don't know if we've ever had like a conversation about, especially just me and you, I'm sure we have with some guests, but the more animalistic sides of Bigfoot and those kind of possibilities. So, yeah, this is a great question because I think it's going to bring up some avenues and some angles that we don't normally talk about on the show, since we do try to get so bizarre so often. So, but yeah, I mean, I think, like I said at the top of the show, and just to kind of bring it on home, to me, it's not much of a stretch to make that there's just a big hominid, ape, monkey, whatever you want to call it, missing link running around in the wilderness out there somewhere. I mean, we find new animals every day. Like, that would not be that earth-shattering of a discovery, I don't think, which also kind of makes me wonder, if there is proof of these things that the government has, why aren't they sharing it?
I mean, which the other side of that,
maybe
too.
There's more than meets the eye, but I'm sorry I interrupted.
Oh, no, I mean, going into that whole thing, and this could be the same across all the bizarre phenomenon. I mean, if they know something exists, and they know that people are creating theories and concepts about these things, to a certain extent, wouldn't they just kind of let people run wild so that the information gets so skewed that you don't know what to believe anymore? Because, like, even if Sasquatch, let's just say, is flesh and blood, for example, you let people create woo-woo theories on it, the general public isn't going to believe in it anymore. So it's almost like you don't have to do anything, and in turn, you're able to control the narrative of it because it gets so outrageous and out there and, like, legendary and just, like, becomes something way more beyond it. Yeah, that people just don't know what to follow with anymore. And even on the other side, man, you dig into, like, Harry and the Hendersons, and supposedly there was some, like, government funding in order to make that film. I mean, you make Sasquatch look like a big oaf and make it look funny out in the woods and stuff like that. And then also you give somebody something to associate it with, where somebody says, I saw a Sasquatch, and somebody goes, oh, like Harry and the Hendersons. And then people have that connotation of a fictional movie with it. Then you're able to, again, completely control the narrative through, like, subconsciously, like, messing with people and putting information in their heads that make it seem like it's the whole concept about, like, you take a person, then you create all these fish stories about them, and their, like, legend expands. And there is still some base to that, but because everybody just kind of went off on their own paths with it, nobody corrected them with it, it's just like it turned into something way bigger than it ever really may have been in the first place.
And you've kind of discredited the basis of the argument at that point as well.
Exactly. So nobody knows what to believe, where to go with it. But I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I definitely dive into all the different aspects of Sasquatch. But, you know, it may be a little bit more flesh and blood than we realize. And again, maybe all of the information that we've gotten past that has been intentionally placed to be able to conscrew all of the information. So,
yeah, that's definitely a possibility. And I mean, like we say, more than one thing could be true at a time. I mean, there could be more flesh and blood. You know, Jenny brought up a great point that I had never thought about, because, you know, I lean hard into the whole portal idea. She was like, well, maybe these things did initially come here through some sort of portal type situation, but then they got stranded here, and then there's just these small pockets that are mating and have these small populations. So both things could be true at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they are flesh and blood, but I mean, it's the same when you go into, like, time slips for people and stuff. There's a bunch of people that have claimed to have gone through time slips. It doesn't mean that humans are paranormal like that, or interdimensional like that, or they have the ability to actually pick when they go interdimensional, but it doesn't mean that time slips and glitches don't happen in the Matrix or reality or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and people who theoretically fall through them aren't wizards suddenly. They're not Doctor Strange, but could, hey, but just be a big ape that's lost somewhere far from home.
Lost in space, may I say.
Ooh, that was good. I see what you did there.
So kind of wrapping up towards the end, and we're definitely going to do this as multi-parts, because I definitely think there's a few different cryptids that we could tackle. Left this one particularly to Sasquatch, because I feel like there was a good amount of information to discuss on it. Probably could have went longer, but still kind of extended into some means of conversation that, we, like you said, we haven't actually had an opportunity to really talk about on the show itself. So this might be a good opportunity to do that. So yeah, we're going to at least do a couple parts of these if you guys enjoyed them. And in the process of that, of course, Oren, why don't you tell them what they should do for the show?
Well, you guys should absolutely submit your own questions for us to inquire about. It can be something fun. It can be something serious. It can even be something not paranormal related at all. If you want us to talk about our favorite movies or our favorite bands or whatever, we'll do that too. So whatever you want us to inquire about, just shoot those questions our way and we will talk about them.
At the end of the day, man, we just want to let our minds wander, make some interesting conversation for you guys to listen to. And part of the reason for the show being short format is, one, we want to make some video content. And two, I don't know about you guys that listen to podcasts out there, but normally, you know, it's like an hour long, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever. And sometimes it's like, you know, a little bit before lunch, a little bit before the end of the day, not enough to start a whole up new podcast, but you want something kind of short just to fill in the time for a little bit. So that's what we're kind of trying to tackle a little bit. So we're trying to give you guys those little short form ones that you can just kind of dip and dive into, you know, listen to while you're doing house cleaning, all that kind of stuff.
It's not the whole meal. It's just a snack, like the two of us.
Exactly. We're just a snack. Fun size snacks.
Yeah, there you go.
And speaking of the fun size snacks, I have been the one that they call Shane.
And I've been Oren.
And guys, I'm going to tell you guys on this show because it still kind of fits into the format. But guys, always stay bizarre. And of course, let your minds wander.
Yeah, Sasquatch is still definitely in our dimension.
Think you know all about Cleveland? Think again and get ready to learn much more about Cleveland. Listen to the latest episodes of Destination Cleveland's podcast, Legends of the Land. We're talking to locals and experts to uncover answers to those burning questions we get asked about the land. Get the real story behind all things Cleveland. From its rich history to the hidden gems, there's so much to explore. Tune in on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you find your podcasts. Discover a side of Cleveland you never knew.